welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and nothing I say in this episode is going to matter as much as the breaking Disneyland news I have for you, which at this point is not breaking, it's been a few days, we all know it, but the Choco Smash candy bar, is back at Pim's Test Kitchen in Avengers Campus at Disney California Adventure. And if that means nothing to you, I am beyond thrilled because I now get to introduce you to the best dessert Disneyland has ever created. And listen, I was on the churro toffee train for a couple of years there. I was very into it. But you know where inflation has struck? The churro toffee, which is now something like $8.29, $8.49. I think it's over $8. You know what's around the same price? This foot-long homemade candy bar. I mean, nobody alert the number cruncher at Disneyland. Like, this thing is going to shoot up to $13 in 2 seconds, but it is the heartiest dessert I've ever gotten there. It is the best dessert I've ever gotten there. And it's maybe the only dessert I've ever gotten that can actually feed 3 people. I say 2 people because I have a huge appetite, but you could feed a group with this. Just cut it into chunks and pass it around. I got it yesterday because I found out accidentally while fact-checking something for these episodes. I just came across it on the menu and was like, oh, the candy bar is back. August, I think it was 23rd. It's like August 23rd. And then I looked at my phone and was like, oh, August 23rd is today? It was the day it came back. I happened to catch it. And I was going to Disneyland the next day. I went with my friend Heather of Dining in Disney. If you follow her, if you don't follow her, you have to. Heather's the best. On top of all food things at Disney. And Heather was so patient with me as I inhaled 80% of this gigantic candy bar, just sitting there going, this is a dream. This would be my last meal on earth. This is heaven. It is so good. There are layers. There's like a chocolate brownie on the bottom. Then you have caramel, you have peanut butter, you have nougat. It's covered in chocolate. I'm pretty sure I'm leaving one of the layers out. It is so good. I will stop talking about it because I'm going to make all of you way too hungry. But just know that at the end of the night, I was like, Heather, I really have to go home on time. Like, I just had a lot going on. I had to like get home at a reasonable hour. And we are about to go back to the car and I go, well, what if we can go back and I get a candy bar to bring home and cut into chunks and freeze so I can have it forever? And that's exactly what I did. Am I tired? This was yesterday. Today's Sunday. Am I tired? Yeah. Was it worth it? You betcha. I can now pull out a little fun-sized chocolate bar whenever I want. And again, for a snack that is under $9, even less if you have a Magic Key discount, cannot rave about it enough. Now this week, we are not only talking about candy bars, we are talking about visiting Disneyland with a small child. It's actually an episode so nice, we're doing it twice, because when I outlined it, the idea of telling you this much information in one episode was too overwhelming. We gotta break it up. There needs to be a little time between the two. And we are covering essential info in both. They're just a little different. They're both equally important. And I'm so excited to bring these to you. The only thing I want to flag up top is that this episode is coming out, I think the very end of August. So depending on when you're listening to it, heads up, we are going to have more ads in September, about the same that we had in August. We had a pretty standard amount of ads, and lately, I don't know what happened. It is a good thing because this is my job. This is how I get paid, is from the ads. I work very, very hard to make everything outside of the ads very fun. I work so hard to make the ads themselves fun. I spent almost a whole workday on September ads because I'm like, if you're going to have 4 ads back to back, they gotta be fun. So I made them all really fun. I hope you enjoy them. I hope you listen to them, but we're going to have a few more ads than usual. I just want to prepare you and tell you that I appreciate you listening to the podcast and listening to the ads. I understand ads are a way of life, but I take every second that you spend with me on this digital platform very seriously. So please know that I do these ads in a way where I hope they are as entertaining as the episode, even though they're about products and not, I guess you'd call this content, a general umbrella of content. I'm very happy about them. I love the companies we're partnering with. I only partner with companies I love, ones that I don't. If you are a subscriber on Instagram, we talked about that this week. I turn down products that I even feel a little iffy about. I was on the fence about one. I turned it down. You will not hear that ad here. You will not hear it at all. So I turned down a lot of stuff. Don't worry. But there was one where I was like, it does fit, but I'm just overthinking it a little bit. And I decided if I'm overthinking it, if even like 1 or 2 or 5 people think it's not a good fit, it's out of here. So we are doing a bunch of ads with great companies, but you'll hear about that later because we got to get into this. We're talking babies, we're talking toddlers, we're talking Disneyland. Stick around. This episode is going to be fun. So is the next one. And I hope you enjoy. Okay, one more quick thing. Do you remember last week's podcast where I was like, my desk is organized. It's so nice. I have flowers here. They're beautiful. If I sound congested, I think it's because I've been in this room for so long that now my sinuses are clogged from these beautiful, beautiful flowers and I refuse to move them because they remind me of the smell of the Grand Floridian. Okay, that's all. Bye. Back to school is in the air, and if you, like me, no longer go to school and have no need to remember what a Dixon Ticonderoga is, and yet forever you will, it is trapped in your brain. You deserve something new to refresh your life going into this new season, whether or not you'll be spending it inside a classroom. Because Quince offers the type of timeless, high-quality items that last and last from one season to the next. Y'all already know I'm obsessed with my Quince bike shorts. I am literally wearing them right now. But did you know they have shoes, bedding, cookware, wedding bands? The jewelry, not the one that plays at a party. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they had that too. Literally anything you need that you've probably dragged your feet on buying, they have. Priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, which is the magic of Quince. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. So before you buy, well, anything, stop on by Quince to save money on high-quality home and closet essentials. I was browsing their toddler clothes, as one does, and I found that they had this black smocked dress for Pearl that exactly matches one I already own. So I'm about to become a matchy-matchy parent. I didn't think it would be in my future, and yet, here it is. But also, forget that, because while I was shopping for Pearl, I learned they have furniture. Yeah, Quince has furniture. They have a beautiful leather couch. It's beautiful. They have art. They have silverware. Genuinely, I'm not buying anything before checking here first, and you shouldn't either. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Perfect for someone as forgetful as I am. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns on everything and anything you buy from Quince. quince.com/amusing. Enjoy! So, there's a lot they don't warn you about before you become a parent. Like, due to childproofing, you won't be able to open your cabinets with one hand for multiple years of your life. Your friends weren't being difficult. Nap time actually is non-negotiable. And even though their bodies are so small, kids be so tiny, they eat so much. Thankfully, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, knows just how complicated it can be to keep your entire household fed. And they are here to save you time, money, and energy by delivering fresh ingredients and picky eater approved recipes to your door each and every week. Your spouse who won't eat vegetables or your kid who just became a steadfast vegan can't be pleased with HelloFresh? Think again! With 50 recipes to choose from each week, protein and veggie swap options, and build-a-plate meals that will prevent all dinner table-related disagreements, HelloFresh is your ticket to feeding your entire household easily, including new 6-portion plans for intentional leftovers. Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful they're thinking of this stuff because I surely don't have the brain capacity to. As you know, I think HelloFresh is spectacular. The pre-portioned ingredients and recipe cards and array of recipes make me feel special. Like I'm a little TV chef whose production team just prepped everything for me. No grocery shopping stress. No, oh my God, it's 5 p.m. What do we do? Panic. Nope. HelloFresh has you covered. And even better, for a limited time, kids eat free. Go to HelloFresh.com/AmusingKids to unlock an exclusive offer of one free kids meal per box for 2 months while subscription is active. That's free kids meals or delicious little late night snacks. Let's be real, not everybody has kids, but we all like quesadillas. Just by going to HelloFresh.com/AmusingKids. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I can't wait to tell you about Artifact Uprising. Artifact Uprising! If you've heard of them, you know they're a Colorado-based company that specializes in creating premium quality customizable photo goods for your digital photos. But even if you have or haven't, we need to talk about the greatest thing in the world that they sell. Now they have so many made-to-order high-quality photo books, but their baby board book had me screaming from my laptop over how good it is. They're photo books and scrapbook albums and calendars and cards and wedding guest books. They're all made using high quality printing methods for clear, vibrant photos. But so is their exceptional baby board book. So it's basically a 100% customizable book with photos and captions that help your little one learn new words with photos of what they actually see around them on a daily basis. No cartoon bath or doodle of a crib. No. I did photos of her shoes, her chair, her playground and water bottle. It's so smart, it's so cute, and with baby-friendly round corners and thick pages for any tiny destructive toddler fingers, it's the coolest learning item I have ever ordered her, and she's already obsessed. And you can get one too, because Artifact Uprising makes it easy to share your memories, teach your littles, and tell your story. Through the end of the year, Very Amazing listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. That's a good deal. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AMUSING through December 31st. That's artifactuprising.com/AMUSING through December 31st. Welcome to our Disneyland with a Baby episodes. If you are here and you go to Disneyland regularly, or if you have never been with a kid before, do not worry. It's a lot, but these episodes should answer every question you have about it. And if they do not, after part two, give me a ring at 747 Churros and I will do my best to answer any question you have. Now, if you're sitting here like, wait, what? It's Disneyland? What about Florida people? I'm going in 3 weeks with my in-laws and I am panicking. No sweat, we've covered lots of baby-specific stuff for Walt Disney World in previous episodes, and I will put links to those in my show notes. A small disclaimer up top as well is that this will apply to the under twos, mostly. I'm told that two and three is kind of the same for Disneyland guidance, but personally, I'm obviously not there yet. So if you are going with a baby, a younger toddler, or if you have multiple kids and one is young, this will be your go-to Disneyland guide. But if you've got a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, unfortunately, I have nothing for you. Give me a couple years and then I will, but for now, I'm kind of fresh out. Because this episode is crammed with all the tips and tricks I've gleaned, and the knowledge I've learned the hard way from bringing a baby and toddler to Disneyland. Because visiting between 6 months and 12 months, and 12 months and 20 months is a totally different child. Legitimately, one can't have solids, and the other somehow needs to be fed every 25 minutes. But we're covering all of that and more in this two-part series. And before we even start, just be sure to come back for part two, okay? I know sometimes there's a part one you drop off, you forget, but come back. I was going to do it all in one, but one would have been way too overwhelming. You really, I can't unload all of this information on you at once. So next week, we'll be talking about what rides I recommend, which I'm on the fence about, which I strongly advise you do not take a baby on. And we'll also discuss how to navigate a full park day with one or multiple kids. And we'll also break down more of the basics, like parking, logistics, transportation, and why the tram and the monorail are uniquely frustrating when you're with a small child. But this week, we are diving into the must-know nitty-gritty for all folks traveling to these California theme parks with a tiny young person. Whether you have an annual pass and have brought your kid before, you've been once or twice but never with a baby, or you're a Disney pro who's an auntie to your beautiful nephew and you want to study up before your family comes into town, these episodes were designed to help you learn everything, and we are getting into all of the essentials. Because as you know, Disneyland is free for kids under three. Free! So as challenging as it is to travel with young ones, there really is a benefit to powering through and just doing it. Because once they turn three, again, still young, not that far away, you'll be paying at least $90 for a one-day ticket for them. So frankly, now's the time. And also you want to make the memories and it's nice and stuff like that, but also the savings. So with that, let's get into it. We will begin with the baby care center. Straight out of the gate, you gotta know there is a baby care center at both theme parks. At Disneyland, it's at the end of Main Street, or as I would put it, just past the corn dog wagon. And at DCA, it's deeper in the park, next to Ghirardelli in San Francisco. And essentially, the baby care center is a sacred space for caregivers and children. They've got everything you need. A lot of diaper changing stations, toddler toilets, high chairs for feeding, a nursing room, a kitchen with a microwave and bottle warmers and sink, and items available for purchase like formula, diapers, wipes, baby food, pacifiers, medicine, etc. And I'm going to do a self-own right now because, to be honest, I've never needed to use the baby care center at Disneyland. I just do all my feeding business out on these streets, all my diaper changes in the regular bathrooms, and I was wrong. I've used them at Disney World on multiple occasions to buy items I needed, wash pump parts, things like that, but I have been too lazy. I've been so lazy and have not gone out of the way to go to the changing tables here, and that has been a humongous mistake. I went inside a few days ago to fact check some things for this episode, and I just was faced with how dumb I am. I should be changing diapers in here. It is so much nicer. So trust me, trust me. These locations can be a huge, helpful, air-conditioned factor in your kiddo's Disneyland day and will be a staple going forward. Why do I keep going to the grungy bathrooms when I can come here? Oh, huge mistake. Now, if you are curious what this magical, mystical baby space looks like, Rachel and Jamie of Two Besties and Beyond, both of who are moms and cover Disney, did a fantastic walkthrough video of the Disney California Adventure Baby Care Center. I will put a link to that in the show notes, but you should definitely check that out to get a feel for what these places are like. I will probably eventually make some sort of video about these resources, but their video is the go-to for sure. Now, one of the biggest things you'll need to prepare for and tackle on your Disneyland day is feeding. Whether that's milk, formula, packets, pouches, porridge, peanut butter puffs, we are starting with the early days and moving on from there. Because if you're traveling with a baby one or under, you're likely going to need some sort of milk plan in advance. And for clarity, just to set the scene, Disneyland is my home park, so I'm on regular schedule when I'm there. I've had to pump, I've had to nurse at Disneyland, I've had to feed purees and early solids and milk, and I think even formula at Disneyland, so I have dabbled in all of it at this resort. And if you are nervous about breastfeeding here, which multiple people have reached out to me about, do not be nervous. You do not notice how many people are breastfeeding at a Disney park until you have a baby? I swear. It is true everywhere, but it is absolutely true here. I use a cover. You do not need to, but it was really never an issue. I've done it on slow dark rides when necessary. I've done it in a carrier while seated. It is literally no big deal. Do not waste any stress on this. Just be absolutely sure that you are monitoring your fluid intake because it is very easy to get dehydrated at Disneyland. And if it is hot out, remember, you can always go to nurse at the baby care center or anywhere indoors. If I was seeking shelter, I would probably look for a quick service restaurant and go to just an empty table in the back, or one of the places I will mention for indoor options for getting the kids' sillies out in our next episode. If you are pumping on site, a very cool thing that is very underpublicized is that the baby care center can actually hold your pump for the day. You fill out a form at either location, and anytime you need to pump, you just swing by and come use it. The only caveat is that you cannot store milk at the baby care center, so if you're bringing milk or just want to keep milk and formula cold, you'll have to plan ahead. But not having to schlep your whole pump around is kind of a big deal, and I can't believe they don't advertise that more. A lot of recommendations out there will tell you to keep everything in a locker, all of your milk storage, all of your formula storage, which makes sense, but I needed that milk on me and in a bottle within about 25 seconds. So I carried everything in the stroller, which you can do with your preferred cooler, ice pack, insulated system, kind of whatever you're working with. Do keep in mind that there is a cooler restriction. The max size can be one that fits a 6-pack, and loose or dry ice is also technically not permitted as per Disneyland rules. But like, they're pretty normal about it. If you run into any issues with actual ice, it's obviously a medical exemption, but you can also pack Ziplocs and ask for ice cubes throughout the resort at quick service restaurants, which is what I used to do for an embarrassing amount of time to keep things temperature controlled. I remember one day I had to pump, I was in Beverly Hills, and I fully put a bag of ice and a bag of milk in my purse and just shoved it in there, and it was totally fine. The things you're used to towards the end of a year with a baby will really shock a new parent. So that's that on keeping milk and formula cold. But for getting it warm, the baby care centers indeed have bottle warmers. This is weirdly really hard to confirm online, so I trotted over there and I saw them myself at Disneyland's. It is confirmed to be at DCA's, so do not fret, there are bottle warmers. And last but not least, if you are making formula on site, they do not have distilled water available for sale, but they do have filtered water at the baby care center, both cold and room temperature. You got options! When it comes to feeding, that's kind of it for the early years. Once they are old enough to sit up and eat food in a way that doesn't send you into a cold sweat whenever they swallow, you know what I mean. A stroller snack tray will be the item you need. If you have a young kid and you haven't gotten one before, listen up. It is really life before stroller snack tray and life after. And life after is good. Because unlike most places in the world where you can get a high chair and pull them up to the table and it's totally fine, you might not be eating at a table most of the day. You might wind up grabbing a chimichanga and a pretzel, and then later you're hungry and you get a corn dog, and you might not sit down to eat until dinner, or possibly at all, more than on probably any other vacation to any other place. Which is why I really, really recommend the snack tray as soon as possible, even if your kid is very new at this. Again, disclaimer, safety first. This advice is only for kids who can safely eat in the stroller. Please do not sue me over this. But we began using one at Disneyland simply just for little baby puffs, the like small, early, tiny ones, well before we thought we'd be using a stroller tray. And it was so clutch. They will get hungry at a time when you are not prepared to feed them, guaranteed. And the tray always helps. If you have a dining reservation at the parks, do know that you can't really bring your stroller into most restaurants. I haven't fact-checked with each one, which is my way of doing things preferably. I have not had time to do that. If I had more time, I would walk around and ask every single one. But in my experience, you gotta park it outside unless they are actively sleeping. And if they're sleeping, they'll just kind of do you a solid and typically seat you with your stroller. But whether you're dining at a sit-down table service restaurant or just running by a quick service one, heed my warning that for young kids, high chairs at Disneyland are not good. For some reason, they are significantly and honestly strangely lower than the actual tables. So when they're really little and kind of short, they're kind of going to be like eating on another floor of an apartment building. It's just the food is up and they are down. So if they're in that puree phase where they really kind of need the whole setup to get food in their mouth, I do recommend heading to the baby care center where high chairs have that attached tray, which makes all of that simpler. And if you're traveling with family and that doesn't really work for your schedule, which I totally understand, you know, if you're doing like reserved meals at restaurants, you have a lot going on, I do recommend bringing the smock and the tray and all the stuff because eating is going to be at a different angle than usual. When I saw this the first time, I was kind of floored about it. It's going to get messy. Just prepare. Once they're a little older and they're taller, it's not a big deal. But at this age, it is really wonky. That said, I've fed Pearl sitting on my lap. I've fed her while holding her. I'm pretty scrappy about it. And that is always an option when you are on the go at Disneyland. You're on vacation. Even if you're only driving from the LA area for the day, it counts. So lean into being flexible. It's all good. And then we got the kiddos who are starting to eat real food. Now, unfortunately, my purview is only up to an almost 18-month-old, and my baby is not ready to straight up order off a kid's menu. She's not taking down a whole burger anytime soon. She's experiencing food at her own pace, which is a little bit slowly. So I do tend to pack nearly all of our food for the day from home. And honestly, I recommend it. It makes my life a lot easier when she gets to eat the moment she's hungry. And it's really one less thing to stress about when I have food on hand I know she will eat. If you are calmed by the idea of not bringing food and just winging it, not having to prepare, not having to do anything, which some people are that way, I totally get it. We all have different brains. Do know that there are plenty of options for feeding your young ones in the park once they're on solids. This is not a thing where I'm like, there won't be any food. It's just, with my anxiety, it works better knowing that I have what she needs on hand. However, there are things like rice, veggies, chicken, beef, always pretty easily available on menus, and all of them can be searched within the app for mobile order offerings near you. Some quick service dishes that I think are really great for kids this age are kids teriyaki chicken with sauteed vegetables and steamed rice at Lucky Fortune Cookery, the hummus trio at Bengal Barbecue, Aunt Cass, oh, I always mess this up on the mic, Aunt Cass Cafe, Aunt Cass, I feel Aunt Cass, either way, Aunt Cass Cafe has a chilled soba noodle salad with tofu, corn, edamame, shrimp, and noodles, which could definitely be kind of picked apart and deconstructed and used for multiple meals while you're there. And any sort of bean rice situation from Rancho del Zocalo will come in handy as well. And remember, if you're getting menu overload, just text on text on text on text, here's a great hack. Just select a mobile order return time for a restaurant. Don't worry, it won't automatically place an order. It's totally fine. And that way, you'll be able to browse each location's menu with photos, which can be so helpful for looking at a kid's dish, looking at what an adult dish looks like to see if you can give it to them. It's just super helpful for knowing what these dishes will actually come out like. Also, if you see something on a menu or on a dish that you know they'd eat, don't hesitate to ask if they will sell you just a portion of that. What might work for your kiddo might not be listed outright on the kids' menu, but at quick service and especially table service restaurants, you should absolutely be able to find some stuff that works for you. Wandering around the parks in search of food is a little less easy, but things like cutie mandarins and yogurt and applesauce are always easily available. But again, when I'm at Disneyland, I don't want to waste time. I'm a theme park gal at the end of the day. I want to be doing stuff. So I just really find so much benefit out of bringing an aggressive plethora of snacks. I'll pack temperature-stable things like applesauce, a baby-friendly granola bar, bananas, puffs, and bomba, especially for any moody moments. This is a day to lean into the puff. All of the puffs. And then I'll have some sort of soft, small cooler with proteins like shredded cheese and turkey meatballs, maybe a peanut butter sandwich, blueberries, kind of whatever she's into that week. And if you run out of puffs, oh my god, a national nightmare, or your kid tips over an entire container of them, which I have seen, it was so upsetting. The parents were crushed. The kid had that like plastic, you know, the plastic container of them, and just sitting in the stroller and just boop, they all just brrr, fell out. And it was so painful to witness. If that happens to you, they do sell them at the baby care center as well. So not all puff hope is lost. We're going to take a very quick break, but we will be back with so many more tips and tricks for visiting Disneyland with babies and young kids. Stick around. We will be right back. Oh my gosh, Armoire is back! Armoire is back as a sponsor of the podcast. I know a few of you signed up and are enjoying it, so I am thrilled to discuss them once more because what a glorious eco-friendly solution to try new clothes and new styles without wasting your money on stuff you'll never wear again. Y'all know I love goofy clothes. I love weird little clothes. But you know why I can't always wear them? Because my closet is missing key pieces. And for me, that's basics. A black skirt, a little black dress, white jeans, cutoff shorts that are more playground than wearing them on vacation. I own none of it. And with Armoire, I was able to test drive every single thing I needed. They've got the goods from designers like Paige and Lily Pulitzer and Tahari. It helped me realize that, yeah, everything I own goes with a cute little black skirt. The one that I test drove was fantastic, and I desperately need to buy one. Oh, and you can low-key buy them from them, too. That's because Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe. From cutie little trousers, to kid-friendly fits, to full party-ready looks, with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. You take a quick 5-minute style quiz, select items from this fun, personalized closet they build for you, and items show up in as little as 2 days. When you're done, just swap them out and get more new-to-you styles. Also, Armoire is women-founded and women-led, so they understand firsthand why this service is so good. There's no more hemming and hawing at the mall, standing in a dressing room wondering, will I really wear this? Is this worth spending hundreds on? Nah, dude! Armoire is here to basically give you the clueless closet. Just endless options forever and ever and ever and ever. And I know I'm saying a lot about them. I'm saying more than I'm probably supposed to, but I just think they're really great. I just think Armoire is really great. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. $125 off! Just visit armoire.style/amusing. armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. If you've traveled overseas, you know one of the most annoying parts of a fantastic trip can be the struggle to stay connected. Hunting down Wi-Fi, changing your phone plan, incurring wild overage charges for what? Using data to map your way around a foreign city? Well, imagine no more of that, because Airalo is here to make that process so much easier. Airalo is the world's first eSIM store that solves the pain of high roaming bills by giving you easy access to eSIM digital SIM cards. Trusted by 10 million users worldwide, it's covered in more than 200 countries and regions, and really offers a perfect digital solution designed to save you time and money no matter where you are traveling. I went to Tokyo last October, and I decided to change my cell phone plan to allow coverage while overseas. It cost extra money, the service wasn't that great, but when I was in one park in particular, my phone's SIM card just stopped working. Just stopped working in a foreign country with no way for me to contact the friend I was staying with. I won't lie to you, it was pretty scary, and Airalo could have solved that problem for me from the start. So, if you're traveling soon and wondering how to stay in touch, look no further. Download the Airalo app and redeem the discount code AMUSING for $3 off your first eSIM. Just install Airalo, A-I-R-A-L-O, so you can stay connected wherever you travel, and use my code AMUSING to get $3 off your first eSIM. Happy travels!
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back, and we're talking about another big topic, the stroller. This kind of goes without saying, but if you have anything other than a grown kid, Bring your own stroller. Disneyland strollers are sad, bare-bones plastic seats. Like, imagine the kind of bowl you'd put a banana split in. That's what you're putting your child in. And also, they can't even be taken to the hotels or parking lots. So bring your own. Really, bring any stroller you want. I was so worried about someone stealing our primary, like, big boy home stroller on the few occasions I brought it. And it was so fine. I was worried about nothing. And I know I sound anxious, but other people have expressed that to me, and that's why I'm mentioning it on mic, because I know some people stress about like bringing their big home stroller, and it was totally fine. Disneyland has standard Disney size restrictions, just like Disney World, but most average strollers will be fine. Stroller wagons, big ol' strollers, anything like that won't be approved unless you have a medical exemption. But really, no matter what size your stroller is, it will be annoying at a certain point of day just because this park is so small. You, at some point, will be stuck in the Fantasyland bottleneck. You can't avoid it, the one across from Red Rose Tavern in Fantasyland, because it is inevitable not to be stuck in that crush of people. But be patient. Listen, even if you're going during the day, you're like, I don't want to be in fireworks stroller traffic. It doesn't matter. You will be stuck in this little area. Just be patient. You will get through. That is advice to future me from past me, as well as for you. These days at the parks, I'll typically use my Zoe stroller. The company let me trial a few different models over the past year, and I'll probably end up talking about them more in depth in the future, because I've come to really love the Tour V2. It's basically the second version of their Tour stroller. It has a cup holder, it fits a snack tray, it's small enough to fold easily into the trunk, especially when I'm there alone, but it's also big enough underneath to hold most of my stuff, and it leans back far enough for my kid to nap in it at the parks. For under $300, it really hits all the marks. As for identifying your stroller, they will get moved by employees known as cast members from time to time just to keep the areas organized. So if you are concerned about finding yours, a lot of people recommend tying something on, like a ribbon or even a balloon. But my go-to is always to use my Bagu bags as an identifier. Bagu makes these patterned reusable bags. I own loads of them. I take them everywhere with me. And I really like to toss them on, you know, like a carabiner hook on a stroller, or honestly, around the cup holder most of the time. And that way, it's super easy and low effort to identify our stroller if it moves, and it also holds all my stuff. I typically experience them moving strollers farther at Disney World than here, just, I guess, because the footprint of this park is smaller, but I wanted to flag this regardless. At night, it can be more challenging to find yours, just because some areas of the park are so dark, they are not well lit. So some folks will do a glow necklace or string lights, stuff like that. I am lazy, I will never remember to pack one of those, and therefore I prefer to just suffer and hunt it down. But if you're going all in, that's kind of the go-to on top of it option. That said, Disneyland stroller parking is vast and omnipresent, but somehow still jammed. Like in Fantasyland, from the castle to the carousel is about a 90-second walk. But there are two stroller spots between them. But they're weirdly not where you want them to be. They're both there, you can see both of them, but it's just not where you want to leave your stroller, because you really want to leave your stroller around the carousel and you just can't do it. It's still convenient, but it's not what you want. It's just so strange. But it's not bad, even for someone like me whose lack of core muscles couldn't hold Pearl in my arms for too long. I wish I could just plop that stroller where I wanted to. I couldn't. It's a weird conundrum that I think only exists here. And speaking of carrying a baby, that is a whole other issue before your kid can stand on their own in ride queues. You can't bring strollers in line, so you are going to be holding them possibly for a while. For a while. This was really hard for me until recently. Honestly, my core muscles are not good after baby. I'm working real hard on it, but even holding her for more than 5 minutes, it hurts my entire body. I brought Pearl alone a handful of times before she could really walk or do more than stand for a second unassisted, and this was a huge point of stress for me, one that I feel like I never got any advice about. I'd often put her in a baby carrier and then wear a fanny pack with all the essentials, like emergency puffs, a teether, hand sanitizer, things like that. And with that setup, we always got through, but physically I found it to be really, draining. It's kind of this double-edged sword with Lightning Lanes, where you know you'll get on quickly if you splurge for a skip the line pass, but scheduling anything with a toddler, especially a baby, is just a joke. We'll get deeper into rides and all of that planning in part two, but I just wanted to mention it now because it's always very top of mind. I think it's one of the trickiest parts of visiting these parks with a young kid. Now, some people have no problem taking their baby in a carrier. Their baby can hang in there all day. I'm jealous. How much Pilates did you do? Please let me know. I did none. Some also use a tush baby, which I hear is great, and everything is cool. You just plop them on there. It's easy to carry them. Some people, like yours truly, have a very wiggly baby and can only get about 15 minutes in a carrier before their little limbs start worming their way out. Up, down, sideways, they somehow get out. So my advice, no matter what situation you are in, is to really know your cue limitations, especially depending on who your traveling party is. It was really important to me that Pearl go on Peter Pan at some point while she was young, but the line is so long, it is always long, and there is no Lightning Lane, skip the lane option. So I opted to wait to do it until I had Ben with me, who could do the majority of the carrying her for the 45-minute wait. As for the rides themselves, sometimes I'd leave her in the carrier on a ride, sometimes I'd take her out moments before. It really just depended on the situation. Ride attendants, especially at Disneyland Fantasyland, will let you know if you have to have them seated or situated a certain way, but do be aware in advance that there may be requirements, even for rides without height restrictions, where you have to face the baby a certain way or even have them out of a carrier seated next to you. Again, we will discuss that in next week's episode, but it was a point of stress for me, so I want to mention it in case it is a point of stress for you. There is a lot to navigate on a Disney day with a baby, and one of the trickiest bits, oh yeah, we're getting into it, it's nap time. Now this one, listen, I don't have any earth-shattering advice for you. I'm sorry, I know I'm a Disney expert, but I'm not going to be out here giving you a tip that's going to make your nap on the go at a Disney park as smooth as silk. For me, it's always been less about where to head to nap and more about, okay, we're here, it's approaching, it's overdue, this needs to happen now, what is nearby, and how can we handle this? We tend to seek out just the quietest area we can find in the moment, but my kids' naps are always gonna be off schedule when we're there. Instead of one long one, we usually get two shorties, like a half an hour each, and that has to kind of be okay. My suggestion is to always pack a portable white noise machine, pack a fan, and to pray. It's the Holy Trinity, you might say. A white noise machine, a fan, and all your prayers. Now, there are quiet spots around Disneyland. We've had her nap in that side area of San Francisco, kind of by the bridge when it was early in the day and people weren't dining there. We had a reservation at Carnation Cafe and she fell asleep by our table. And she was totally fine. We've even had her nap over by Adventureland Treehouse in a little corner when the park wasn't that busy. I think we also had her nap in what Critter Country, which will be Bayou Country. Basically, just feel it out based on where you are, because sometimes there can be a loud noise you don't anticipate. Like I'm not gonna say anything specific because then I'm gonna stick my own foot in my mouth, but just feel it out for what's nearby and you will be good. And while I haven't used it yet, if you do want an indoor space, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln is a fantastic one to keep in your back pocket. I've heard Main Street Cinema could also work too, depending on kind of their age and their sleep preferences. But I'm kind of like, it seems like we can get her to go down now. We're doing it. We turn on the fan, we turn on the white noise machine. And I'd say 9 out of 10 times we've been lucky. There was one time where it was not good, but the other times have been pretty good. And of course, there are always rides you can go on and kind of try to time those up with nap time. It's a Small World is one of the longer rides, as is Pirates of the Caribbean, which are really good bets if other people want to ride and your baby has to sleep so that you don't have to kind of separate yourself from the group for too long. And if you are staying nearby or on site, going back to your hotel to nap is a totally viable option here. It is annoying to leave the park, of course, but if I was on a long jaunt and my baby was possibly going to stay up past their bedtime because other people wanted to see fireworks, I would want that solid nap in the bag. And leaving to do so could be worth it, and also not that hard. It's way more convenient here because there are so many hotels that are walking distance, so do keep that in mind. At Disney World, that's usually not gonna happen. But at Disneyland, it is kind of doable. And listen, I'm not recommending it. I'm not saying you should. But if your baby falls asleep in their stroller while you're sitting in a comfy chair of a Disney hotel lobby, that's not allowed, you know? Let's get into another biggie, which is diaper changing at Disney bathrooms. Because when it comes to changing diapers at these parks, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's not great. It's not terrible by any means, but it's not great. Changing stations are available in almost every single bathroom, but be warned that many here can be busy, loud, chaotic, and sometimes so small it just doesn't make any sense. It's tricky to bring your stroller inside, so prepare to probably carry your baby in one arm and your stuff with another, depending on how busy the parks are. I've now got it down to a routine, but when Pearl was really little, this really stressed me out. Because when you have a toddler and they wear those little shoes, you can just plop them down for a second and grab everything and then pick them back up. But having a wriggly baby, like a small little baby, is a full game of hot potato. I'll probably do a whole like products episode, like what I pack in my bag, what I pack in my stroller at some point down the road, but disposable changing pads are going to be a lifesaver on a Disney day. I will fold mine up into a little Ziploc and just kind of keep the side that touched the baby separate from the side that touched the table when I'm folding it up, and I will use it throughout the day and toss it at the end of the day. I'll have that with wipes. I'll grab one diaper. I'll just make it as small as possible so that carrying the baby is the priority instead of carrying the bag. And not all Disney bathrooms are created equal. I recommend avoiding the Fantasyland bathrooms next to Red Rose Tavern. The one in New Orleans Square past Pirates is a bad one for anyone, baby or not. And the ones at the entrance to Adventureland are always bleak. Everything else is like fine. I don't really have one that I would rave about. I also can't think of any in DCA that have stood out in my memory. So things are, I guess, somewhat normal there, because anybody who's been to the New Orleans Square bathroom just knows, ooh, it sends a shiver down your spine. That is a bad bathroom. But now that I say all that, I also want to mention again, I'm going to do my next diaper change with Pearl at the Baby Care Center. What have I been doing all this time? It is so conveniently located in Disneyland. It is like a 3-minute walk from that absolutely cursed Adventureland one. So just keep that in mind. Go to the Baby Care Center. I'll be doing that from now on. And just try to avoid those few, because they're real bad. Oh, and if you're heading back to Mickey and Friends parking at the end of your visit, there is a bathroom underneath the escalator that is perfect for the pre-drive home diaper change. But personally, I usually stop at the bathroom in Downtown Disney behind Wetzel's Pretzels, because during the day, it's almost always really quiet in there. And if you've made it this far in this guide and are like, is this worth it? Should I even do this? It's time to tackle the real burning question. When should I bring my kid for the first time? I get this question constantly, and my philosophy on it remains as such. You should bring your kid when you want to, whenever you want to. When you get the itch and you're like, and you're starting to think about it, do it. Do it. They're never getting younger. Oh, they won't remember it. Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about Pearl remembering it. I want the memories, and that's okay. I also want her to start becoming used to being in this place she's likely going to visit for her entire childhood. And at a base level, I think exposing your kid to something they don't usually see is always helpful. And to add to that, we've generally had a really great time every time we visit. Why, as an LA person, why would I go to an indoor play place when I have an annual pass and can just come here? And if you listen to the podcast, you know I took Pearl to Disneyland for the first time at 10 months. And I took her to Disney World about 6 weeks earlier than that. Is it unhinged to take your baby to Florida before California when you're a California resident? Yes. But my baby does not do well in a car. My postpartum anxiety about that was a problem. And the idea of driving her and being stuck in traffic alone and her crying and not being able to tend to her or give her milk was just more frightening than flying with her and having my hands next to her. So for some reason, it was easier for me to be hands-on flying across the country alone with my baby than driving. But I tell you this because I knew my limitations and I knew what worked for me, and it worked for me to fly first and then to drive once she could really handle up to an hour and a half in the car. And side note, This was only about 9 months ago and feels like another lifetime. Kids change so much in the first few years. Everyone will tell you. I'm telling you now. And if you're not there yet, you might be like, yeah, but like they'll always be little. No, it changes so much. The way she takes in the park has changed so much. The way she reacts to characters has changed. Ride preferences changed. So if you're like, ooh, I kind of want to make the memory, go. And I mention all this because the timing is really whatever you think is best for you. So when it comes to when to bring them, it's really either when you feel ready to, or inevitably when they become so obsessed with a franchise that is on Disney Plus that it's just required because they won't stop bringing it up and you absolutely have to do it because they're getting very annoying. Because again, it is inevitable that you're going to end up here. And it's just really nice to have the memories from an early, early age. You know, in case they ever unexpectedly get really into theme parks and do it for their job for nearly a decade, and then they have all these baby photos and home movies that they never expected they'd cherish so much. Not speaking from experience or anything. And on that topic, the last thing we will tackle in this half of our baby coverage is keepsake souvenirs. Their first visit is a big old deal, and I want you to know my favorite commemorative options. First, you gotta get the free button. I'm like 92% sure they still have the My First Visit button, but if not, you can always get an I'm celebrating and write in My First Visit. Buttons are officially, like the legalese of it is that they're available at City Hall and Main Street USA at Disneyland and at guest services at Disney California Adventure. But you can find them in way more other places. You can find them in merchandise shops. Sometimes in the morning, someone off Main Street will be scribbling. Sometimes at restaurants, they'll have them. Just kind of ask around cast members if you don't see any buttons, you just don't come across them and you're likely to find them. It is a free souvenir. It is fun to keep, and it is so nice to have when they're older and you just come across it and you're like, oh my God, their first visit. They've been so many times since then. The next quintessential souvenir is, of course, the Mickey ear hat, the personalized baby kid toddler ear hat, which is extremely special because you can put their name on it. A name, a date, first visit, a nickname, whatever you choose, it's a must. You can get ear hats embroidered at the Mad Hatter on Main Street, which is when you enter like all the way to the right before the actual street begins, or Mad Hatter in Fantasyland over by Alice in Wonderland and the teacups and like all the other rides you're probably going to be doing. I actually wasn't sure where in DCA they had it since I hadn't seeked this out in so long. So I stumbled onto this old Plan Disney post, which said Kingswell Shop on Buena Vista Street. And they think, they like weren't sure. They're like, we think they do it at Seaside Souvenirs in Paradise Gardens Park. A bit of the lost leading the lost, but that doesn't matter because they also said something else I did not expect. This is straight from the Plan Disney post. And this is pretty, I think this is from like a year ago. So this is very recent. Okay, this is what they said. You will need to have purchased the item of clothing from the Disneyland Resort that day and have the receipt with you. Last year, I was so happy to have gotten a magic key that I had them embroider my name along with the year and a magic key symbol on the rim of a beanie. I even once asked the cast member what the most unique item of clothing they'd ever embroidered, and she responded, the seat of a pair of pants. What? What? I mean, I knew it had to be a new item, but I didn't know they would embroider anything? Stuff besides ears? This opens up a whole new world of souvenirdom for me. I mean, you can get the butt of pants embroidered? What did the person embroider? Were they just like fart, haha? Like what? What? There's so many. I'm never going to approach souvenirs in the same way. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I was yapping about that sweater, that amazing sweater with the little plush Mickey items all over it and the mini one too. I can get my name embroidered on that. Girl, get out. I need that. And last but not least, you're going to get your castle picture if you're going to Disneyland Park. I usually stand off to the right-hand side instead of in front because there's less people in the background and it's much more scenic of a photo. And you can get PhotoPass if you'd like, which is like Disney's official photography service. But if you want something really special and unique, do not forget about the silhouettes on Main Street. These kind of blew up on TikTok about a year or two ago and quickly became in high demand. But at the silhouette shop on Main Street, you can get a custom hand-cut silhouette of your kid or your entire family or even with your pet if you bring a photo for $11.99. It's $11.99 per human and or animal and or Disney characters. You can do that too. Just act like, oh my God, I should totally do it where it's like me and Goofy and Pearl. That would be so funny. I'm so sorry to my husband, but that's 100% happening. That's 100%. It's going to be Goofy and then me and then Pearl. Okay, anyway, I digress. But it's $11.99 per Goofy father, Carly wife, Pearl child, whoever you put in, it's $11.99 each. There's often a line in the morning, but if they're full up, like, just check back throughout the day. There's probably availability later. You can add a frame, you can choose not to, but it's just a unique, delightful little souvenir that will help you commemorate what I hope is the best theme park trip ever. That's all we've got for this week. Trust me, definitely tune in for next week when we are getting into the nitty-gritty of rides, the ones I don't recommend, which is honestly like maybe the most important thing, because I also, okay, I'm going to be real with you. So I opened some DMs today. I don't usually open DMs. And the amount of DMs I had, there's one ride that I do not recommend. You can bring a baby on it. You absolutely should not. Like, you can bring a small child on, don't do it. And I joked about it on Instagram stories this week. And every message I opened was like, oh my God, the same thing happened to us. I brought my, and it was like baby, one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old, anyone in this age span, I almost said spread, age span, anybody that age, they were like, don't, it was traumatizing. Like, kids were crying. Kids were eerily silent after just every end of the spectrum. They were like, no, don't do it. Don't bring your kid on this, even though you can. And I want to make sure that you don't have that happen to you. So tune in next week where we talk about that and everything else. If you have any questions between now and then, call into 747 Churros. Do it quickly so I can get to it before I make next week's episode. But otherwise, bring your kid. You're going to have so much fun. Or go with someone else and their kid. It's really magical to see it through a small child's eyes. It's magical. Oh, I just love a theme park.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company S.I. and its operating company 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Carly. This is Angelina. I'm calling from Orlando. I have this gripe with Walt Disney World that I've had for 4 years, and I have debated calling you about it, and now I'm finally doing it. So, pre-COVID, Pecos Bill at Magic Kingdom had cauliflower tacos, and they were the best quick service, like, vegetarian option. Post-COVID, they got rid of them. But when you go to mobile order the tacos at Pecos Bill, you can still see a picture of them, and it reminds me of the good times I once had. And, you know, I don't even have an annual pass anymore, and it's still there, and it still bothers me, and I don't know who else to call about it. So, thanks for listening. Bye.
Do you know how grateful I am that I am the person that you thought of when you saw this? Because I know exactly what you are feeling. And I don't think most people, like non-Disney people, don't understand. When they change an item on a menu, it is like a gut punch. Because like rides change, things change, but menus, it's like, that's your nourishment. That's what keeps you going throughout the day. And when they remove something that you have on multiple trips, something that you are like, that's my favorite thing, when they get rid of it, it feels personally offensive. Like, I take it so personal. As you know, from the Choco Smash candy bar, that was my latest, like, this is my item, and they got rid of it, and then they brought it back, so I understand the highs and the lows of all of it, and I am right here with you, because that item sounds great. It sounds better than the vegetarian item they have right now, and I actually, okay, it's late at night in Florida, so I don't know if they, oh yeah, I can't, Oh, wait, scheduled for later. Okay. Oh, no, I can't. It's too late for me to look at the Pecos Bill menu, but I believe you. It's not on the online one, on like the .com website. But oh my gosh, I am so sorry this happened to you. And if anybody has one of these they just want to air their grievances about, listen, I am all ears about it. You know why? Because I know what you're going through, not just with the Choco Smash. They got rid of, and I've talked about it on the podcast many times, they changed the menu, Lucky Fortune Cookery. I freaked out. I fully freaked out because that was my go-to meal. You get veggies, you get rice, you get a protein, you get double veggies. Like, that powered me through my Disney day. And it's gone. And I still, like, I couldn't eat at Lucky Fortune Cookery for years afterwards because I was so hurt. It was like a breakup. I didn't want to acknowledge that they were there. So I know what you're going through. And the fact that this photo is taunting you is so cruel. I am sorry. I understand. I feel like I am an empath for Disney foods that are like in the food graveyard. I know what you're going through. And yeah, especially Pecos Bill. Pecos Bill is a huge one that, like, listen, things have changed a lot at Pecos Bill over the past 10 years, I'd say. I'm going to stretch it to 10 because I don't remember exactly when the condiment bar started its rapid decline. But listen, Disney Food Blog is like the encyclopedia for how Pecos Bill has just stripped away everything special. But yeah, I'm with you and I'm so sorry. And feel free to call me whenever you feel bad about the cauliflower. I get it. And call me with anything else. Really, no one understands more than I do. I get it. And sometimes you just really need to say it out loud. And I'm glad you did here. Thank you so much for calling. And oh, I'm so sorry about the cauliflower. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening, and be sure to tune in next week when we are covering all sorts of other stuff that is also baby and toddler related, also essential, but completely different from the contents of this week's episode. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS, send a voice note to 747-CHURROS, or email anything you want to 747churros@gmail.com. You can pick up Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com, and you can follow me at Carly Wiesel all across the internet, available on all of your personal devices. Also, join the family while you're at it at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. And if you just feel like you got a dollar to burn and you don't know where to send it, digitally send it to this gal and subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel. It's a lot of fun to be able to talk to a smaller group of people there. I really enjoy it every week. Like, I really enjoy spending time with just a small little community on that platform. It is my default platform. I love it there so much. And it's just been really nice. So thank you to everyone who's listening who is a subscriber. I love having you there. Also, if you're a subscriber on Instagram, they put a little icon next to your name. So then if you comment on Instagram or you send me a DM, I know you're a subscriber, so then I can reference stuff that we have talked about on the subscriber channel directly to you, which is really fun. I really love that feature. So if you feel like you want to join, 99 cents a month, come hang with us over on Instagram. This episode was edited divisively by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. A train on a cruise? What? I had to listen to this and I had to research this. A train on a cruise ship. It was so confusing for my brain, but this is so cool now that I know about it. I think his name was Jay, the senior VP of Royal Caribbean. Like, that's the title. Wow. Okay. So it's a 90-minute experience. Wonderful. It's supposed to be, like you said, like it feels like you're on a European train station. That sounds so much fun. Not a restaurant, but it's a theme, and I love themes. Conductors, I'm shouting, all aboard! I think this is so cool. I love that there's a marshal and bandits. It's just fun storytelling while you're there. Sounds great. Love, love, love a theme. I am so glad you asked that question about the time period, because I was thinking the same exact question. We can go, you and I. I think we must go. And we can bring 19 1900s, I mean 1800s, not 1900s, 1800s dresses and big hats. How fun would that be? Oh, my God. And Brian the parrot, who tells dirty jokes right up my alley. I love that. It is just a great episode. So much fun, and I hope we get to do that one day. I would love to do that with you. About your merchandise you mentioned, I have the best assortment of sweatshirts in my closet of very amusing merchandise. The quality is so soft. I wash it, dry it. It wears so well. It's just wonderful. And I proudly wore mine tied around me at D23, showing everyone very amusing. That might be why we were stopped every 2 seconds, but it was wonderful. Great week. I love you so much. I love you, Pearl. I can't wait to see you. And I love you, John Stamos. Call me. Talk to you later. Bye.